Turn with us to the book of Joshua, the 13th chapter of the book of Joshua. We're going to start reading at verse number 29, 13th chapter of the book of Joshua. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Verse 29, Moses gave inheritance unto the half-tribe of Manasseh, and this was the possession of the half-tribe of the children of Manasseh by their families. And their coast was from Mahanaim, all Bashan, all the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, and all the towns of Jair, which are in Bashan, threescore cities, and half Gilead, and Ashtaroth, and Edrei, and cities of the kingdom of Og in Bashan, were pertaining unto the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, even to the one half of the children of Machir by their families. These are the countries which Moses did distribute it for inheritance in the plains of Moab on the other side of Jordan by Jericho eastward. But unto the tribe of Levi, Moses gave not any inheritance. The Lord of God of Israel was their inheritance, as he said unto them. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again I want to thank you for this day you've given us, for what you've done this day. Thank you, Lord, for the sweet singing of praises unto thee that we've heard this day. And Father, for the great privilege it is just to sing unto you, and Lord, then to worship you and pray, and Lord, hear the word of God. And we just thank you so much for who you are and how great you are. Lord, again tonight, we need your wisdom, we need your power, we need all things from thee. And Father, we ask that you be honored and glorified in these services, for we pray it in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. You may be seated. Verse number 1 of chapter 13 says, Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. The Israelites had come into the promised land, and the time went by, and there was a lot of the land that God intended for them to possess had never been possessed. They just did not do it. They did not go in and drive out the inhabitants. They did not do what God wanted them to do. And so there was a whole lot of land there. And the Word of God says very much land that had not been possessed. When I think about that, I think of our lives. And I imagine more than likely there's a whole lot of land that you and I haven't possessed that God would have us possess. I have a feeling in life, sometimes I believe this, that there's many things that God wants of us that we haven't went in and driven out the inhabitants and done what we should do. There's much that we probably could do for God that we haven't done simply because we just haven't followed completely his will and done his will and went in and took the land that God wants you and I to take. The land in the Old Testament here, as they went into the promised land, was divided by what they call lots. And I believe, personally, that each person in this room has been given a lot. I don't always know what yours is, but I think you've been given a lot that God wants you to possess. God wants you to have. God has given unto you. I know sometimes that it's not always easy. Some folk has been given lots that are more difficult than others. That's God's business. That's not my business. It's not really your business. But God has given folks, some folk, very difficult lots to possess. And sometimes folk get weary. Maybe I should say not of the way, but in the way. I don't know of a person on the face of the earth, and maybe you're not that way. I heard one person say one time that they'd never doubted God about anything. They'd always tried to follow God in everything he'd done. Well, I hope he did. I really mean that. I hope they did. But human beings get weary. I'm just going to testify for a moment. I don't get tired of the way. But I sometimes get tired in the way. Now, I don't know how you feel, but I'm being honest. I heard a man say to me, I wouldn't want to do anything else in the world but preach. Well, you know, most time I wouldn't either, but you know, there's sometimes there's sometimes that I'd sure like to give it a try. Now, honestly, I really wouldn't. But I'm telling, that's when you get weary in the way. Okay? Not really, you wouldn't want to, but you get weary in the way. Some of you folk, you're not a preacher, but you get weary in the way sometimes. And what you're doing becomes wearisome to you. And sometimes very tiresome. Sometimes you wish for a change in life. That's why some people retire. They say, I'm tired of doing this. I'm going to retire. Amen. But let's take that in right perspective. You can't retire from God's work. You can't retire from being a Christian. You retire maybe from your life's work and do something different for the rest of your life. But when it comes down to Christianity, you never can retire. You never can quit. Can never stop. It's always got to go on. We can never find a time when we say, well, you know what, I'm just going to let up serving God. Your way you serve God may change. But you can't quit serving God. You just can't do that. I can't either. We just got to keep on. No matter what happens, we just got to keep on doing right for the Lord. Amen? Now, our ways may change, and all the things that we do and the way we serve God may change, but we can't quit serving God. Amen? So I'm simply saying tonight, I think God has given you a lot, and He wants you to fulfill it. There's a lot at stake if you don't fulfill the lot God has given you. He's got a plan out there for every single individual. And if you don't fulfill that plan that God has for you, something doesn't get done in the work of God. Amen? So your lot may be not be as great as somebody else's. If you want to look at it from that standpoint, I don't use that too often, the word great, but it may be larger than someone else's. But you have a lot that God wants you to finish. And whatever that is, you need to finish it, and I need to finish mine, no matter what it is. I think there's sometimes people get discontented with their lot in life. There's reasons sometimes for that. Sometimes people live a very lonely life. I'll cover this in a minute. They're very lonely. Sometimes people get disillusioned with the lot that God has given them to live. They get disillusioned with it. And so they can't handle it very well. Sometimes it seems like the bright hopes that they once had are gone. But listen to me. That's not always bad. God sometimes has to take some of those dreams that we have and kill them. Because they're our dreams and not God's. So we've just got to be very careful and not get disillusioned with all of that, because God does that many times for a very definite reason. Let me say, all the time, He does it for a definite reason for your life and my life. Sometimes ill health comes along, and we don't know how to handle it. I just want you to know, God hasn't forgot you. Sometimes people go through bad marriages, and it seems to just absolutely just tore their life apart. Don't seem to be any hope for the future. But with God, there is always hope and purpose. And God can do something no matter how hard or how difficult or how bad it may seem. God can always do something good. Sometimes people feel that all hope is gone. And sometimes even other Christians begin to look at those people with a little bit of suspicion when they see things not going right in their life. And they look at them sometimes as like, wonder what they did do wrong. And I'm simply saying to you folks, it's the lot that God has given you. The lot that God has given me is given to us by the Lord. You want to be careful feeling sorry for someone. I'm going to state this because it's important you understand it. There's a difference between feeling sorry for someone and having compassion on someone. Don't feel sorry for someone if they're a Christian and God has given them a hard lot to carry. Don't feel sorry for them. Have compassion on them. You say, Brother Ross, what's the difference? There's a big difference. When you feel sorry for someone, you're saying, God, you sure done them bad. And God's never done any of us bad. We have compassion on those that's going through difficult times because that's right and correct for us to have compassion. Be concerned about them and have compassion for them, but don't feel the sorrow for them because God has allowed that. For no matter what reason it is, we may not understand it, but God has allowed it. Sometimes if we don't be careful, we'll hinder the way by simply feeling sorry for them and making them feel sorry for themselves. And we have no right to feel sorry for ourselves if God has given us that lot to bear. Amen? Now have compassion, yes. Do everything you can to help lift that burden, yes. Be a blessing, be concerned about them, but don't feel sorry for them. Because when we do, we're saying, you know what, God sure didn't do you right. Oh, yes, He did. Every single one of us. He has done us right. Amen? So we've got to be very careful on how we take the lot that God has given us and what we do with it. I realize that some people feel, many times, unwanted. They don't have a lot of love in their life. Sometimes they begin to be bitter and sour at God. They're alone, they're crushed with hurt. And they look up and they say, I wonder even if God loves me. Yes, He does. He's never quit loving you. He's made you and He's never quit loving you and never will quit loving you. So I'm simply saying we got to be very careful because sometimes that lot that God has given us in life will also turn into resentment and bitterness if we don't accept it correctly. Amen? Folks, you just understand something. God's given you a lot in life, something that you must expand. God's got a lot of territory out there for you individually. You've got a lot of potential, regardless whether you feel it or not. You've got potential you've never reached. Amen? It's there. And God wants to do something with you and help you reach that potential. We look at sometimes the little younger children, we say, boy, they've got a lot of potential. They're going to grow and learn, and that's true. And I look at them sometimes, and I'm amazed at them because I look and I think, I wonder what they'll be in 10 years. I wonder how God will be using them. Do you ever do that? I do that all the time. I sit up here, and I come out on Sunday morning, and I look at all these kids up here, and a lot of them's bus kids, and I look at them and go by and say hi to them and all that, and I think, wonder what you'll be doing. We have that prayer sheet in our adult Sunday school class. We've got all the children listed on in our church, and so our adult class has taken on the project, just praying for them on through high school, praying for all of them. I go through that every day, and I pray for them, and I think about them, and I think, I wonder what God's going to do with that person, that individual. And it's just exciting sometimes just to think about that and just wonder where God is going to place them and where in 10, 15 years, where are they going to be and what are they going to be doing? And you know, to me, that's exciting. But God has got a lot or a place for every single one of them. Got a plan for their life that He wants them to do. And it's very important. Very, very important. Over in Deuteronomy, let's go over there a moment. If you'll notice, Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter, if you'll notice in the verse, last verse, and I'll read it, 10th chapter, Deuteronomy, you turn to, but in the verses that I read, he said, "But unto the tribe of Levi, Moses gave not any inheritance. The Lord God of Israel was their inheritance, as he said unto them." And I think about that. You know, the tribe of Levi was the tribe of the priest, and the Bible, New Testament, tells me we're priests. Amen. And did you know your inheritance is the Lord? You know, that's the greatest inheritance you have, is the Lord. You may have earthly inheritance, and you may have all of this, as some of the tribes of Israel did, but your inheritance is of the Lord, and it's Him. I mean, God Himself is our inheritance. What a blessing. Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter, verse number 8, he says, "And at that time the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord to minister unto him, and to bless in his name unto this day. Wherefore Levi hath no part nor inheritance with his brethren. The Lord is his inheritance, according as the Lord thy God promised him." Now in these verses of Scripture tells us that the tribe of Levi was greatly honored. They was a chosen out special group of people who was to minister before the Lord and to be used of the Lord all of their lives. Now, we could kind of take that over into the New Testament as I was talking about. And basically, when we get saved, did you know that's what God does with us? He makes us a very special people that is to minister unto the Lord. Yes, differently than they did, but minister unto the Lord, but be used of the Lord and be caught up in the work of God and do the work of God. We have that great privilege. We are honored with the privilege of being that kind of people and doing those kind of things because God has chosen us. Now that's what he did for them, you see. Their interest was to be centered entirely around him. Around the Lord. They were called, if you'll notice there in those verses, they were called to live a life of worship. They also were called to live a life of work. Working in the sanctuary, they're working and serving God and worshiping God. These Levites were called for that purpose. Well, folks, to some degree, we're Levites. We're priests. We're called to live a life of worship to God and called to live a life of service for our Lord. You see, now their work basically was done in the sanctuary as intercessory work in the sanctuary. That's where they worked. Now, there was two channels. They become two channels. We'll show you that here in just a moment. But they was a channel, first of all, through which others could come to God. And they was a channel also which God could come to men. We'll show you that in a minute, but that's what they did. In the sanctuary, that was a place where people could come to God. And God also had some cities for them and to go in, and some suburbs that God gave them. Over Numbers, the 35th chapter, he tells us that. He gave us some cities of refuge. Gave them some suburbs so that when they was done with the work in the sanctuary, they could go to these cities of refuge and live there. They was given to the Levi tribe. And in the suburbs, they had suburbs around there. They could grow some crops and have their animals and things like this. But it was for the Levites. But most of their work was centered around the sanctuary. But they also then came into the cities. You see, in the sanctuary, they brought men to God. Now, folks, whether you understand or not, that's what we're doing tonight. We're bringing people to God. I know a little different than this, but that's what we're doing. We're bringing people in to hear from God. That's what we're going to do in Bible school. We're going to send buses all over this community out here to bring boys and girls in and bring them to God, bring them to hear the Word of God. Now, when they left the sanctuary, the Levites, when they left the sanctuary, they went out then into the cities. In that way, they was then taking God to men. And folks, that's what you and I are to do. We come into the sanctuary, we learn about the Lord, we hear about the Lord, we bring boys and girls to Sunday school, we bring them to Bible school, we bring them all these things in to hear the Word of God, we bring them to the Lord. But then when we walk out of this place, we're supposed to be a people that takes God to men. Hey, we can't never quit that. And here's the problem in today's Christianity. We get it done when we come and bring them in here. We work hard at it. But we won't work near as hard at taking God to men. Into the cities. Into the dwelling places. You know, we've been doing, since it's light later now, we've been doing some visiting out in the country, taking our men and it's on visitation and going out into the country. And some, when I say country, you know, maybe down through these the highway out here and going on out there and out into other roads. And I don't know how the other men feel about it, but I've just been excited about it. I just enjoy it. You know, going up there knocking on the door and telling them who I am and telling them, get a chance to tell them about the Lord. And that's taking God to men. That's just getting out there and knocking on a door and say, here we are, we want you to know about the God we serve. Now, yeah, we know everybody don't want to hear. We hear all the excuses, but that doesn't matter. That's not what's important. What's important is we've got to take God to men where they are. I remember when we was up, and by the way, when we was up at Covington last week and had a great time up there. Brother Pat Bolton was going to be up there this week. Yeah, he probably tore the place apart. I don't know. Yeah. No, Brother Bolton did a good job. He's going to be up there this week. He was following. He was coming in on this Sunday. And so it'll be great. But I was telling them, Covington, Indiana needs Maranatha Baptist Church. Oh, it needs that church. It needs you as a people going out and telling people about the Savior who saved you. And you know, Jasonville in this area needs Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It needs a people that will go out and tell people about Jesus Christ and get excited about the work of God. And I believe some. I believe most of our people are excited, but the ones that aren't ought to get excited. You really should. You ought to get excited. I tell you, it'll help you. It'll even help your countenance. It'll put a smile on your face. Get excited about the work of God, what God can do right here at this place in Jasonville, Indiana, what He's done now for 26 years. Well, He's done it for 20, yeah, last year was our 25th anniversary. 26 years, God has done it right here in Jasonville, Indiana, and He just wants to continue to do that. He wants to bring people in, bring people to God, hear the Word of God, and then He wants us to go out and take God to people. Amen. Now, that's a two-channel thing. And when you miss one channel, you're missing a lot. We've got to be a people that's willing to go out there and just tell people about Jesus Christ. When we first built this building here, I still remember this so well. I went up to IGA store one day and this woman stopped me up there and she said, I want to know something. I said, all right. She said, if you go to your church, do they have to come out there and work on that building? I said, what do you mean, lady? She says, I see so many people out there working on that building. Is that part of the rules? And you ought to hear the rules I have anyway. I mean, I got rules that this, you know, you've never even heard of. So they thought that was one of my rules. That if you're going to come to this church, you're going to belong to this church, you had to get out there and work. They say, well, there's so many people out there. Out there working, you know, getting that place built. And I said, no, ma'am. I said, they're doing it because they love Jesus. They just love the Lord. That's what I told her. I said, they just love the Lord. They're just doing it because they love the Lord, want to do right, want to get a work done here. And I believe that's the way this next building will get built too. Just a people who just want to do right, get it built, get it done for the glory of God, and they'll just do it. Amen? But you got to get out there and you got to get excited about the work of God. See, if you're not excited about the work of God, you won't tell anybody. You see, there's enough going around about Blessed Hope Baptist Church and all it is in their view. We ought to get the truth out. And only you can put the truth out. They won't believe the preacher. They think he's biased. But if you go out there and you tell them,
how good Jesus is, and we got a great church out there, and the Word of God is preached out there, and we're seeing boys and girls saved out there. And you do that, I mean the congregation does that, you'll be surprised what that'll do to a community. But if you go around with an old dropped poochie lip, they ain't going to want what you got anyway. I don't blame them. I wouldn't want it either. I don't want to catch poochie lip. That's catching. Do you know that, Matt? That's catching. Poochie lip's catching. And everybody gets poochie lipped. Get smiles on your faces. Enjoy your Christianity. Enjoy your work here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And let's just keep on doing on going on for God. Amen? It's because we're Levites to a degree, as far as we're priests to a degree, that we've got to bring people in to hear of God, and then we've got to take them out. We've got to take God out to people. Amen? That's the only way it's going to work, see. Now, I lose some folk when I talk about taking God out. I know that. But what you need to do is just get excited about it and go do it anyway. Because it's biblical. It's biblical. It's what God says to do. Amen? 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 Anybody want to testify? Amen. I mean, amen. You're going to be here, I mean, next week on visitation. You're going to be here doing it next week. You're going to get out there and you're going to get people excited, and you're going to tell people about you. Mm-hmm. Amen. Isn't that what we ought to do? Sure. Amen. But anyway, I want to look, first of all, how God prepared them. I want to show you the kind of people that God used. I want to show you who the Levites were. Okay? We're going to go back to Genesis, the 34th chapter of Genesis, first of all. 34th chapter of Genesis, 25th verse, we'll start reading. And it came to pass on the third day when they were sore that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, remember there's Levi, Dinah's brother, took each man his sword and came into the city boldly and slew all the males. And they slew Hamor and Shechem and his son with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went out. The sons of Jacob came upon the slain and spoiled the city because they had defiled their sister. They took their sheep and their oxen and their asses and that which is in the city and that which was in the field, and all their wealth and all their little ones, and their wives took they captive and spoiled even all that was in the house. Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, "You've troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites, and I bring few in number. They shall gather themselves together against me, slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house." And they said, "Should we deal with our sister? Should he deal with our sister as with a harlot?" Now, if you look here, Levi and Simeon went against what their daddy would wanted them to do. They went out and slew the Shechem and all them group that had had part of this. Shechem had taken Dinah, which was the daughter of Jacob, and so he'd taken her. And anyway, we find here that they went out and killed him, just slaughtered him. Now Jacob come along and he said, "You know what you've done? I mean, you just ruined me. They're all going to come after me because of what you've done." Now, this is the kind of people whom God brought blessing out of. Now, let me show you again over in Genesis, the 49th chapter, okay? 49th chapter of Genesis. Fifth verse, he said, "Simeon and Levi are our brethren, instruments of cruelty are in their habitation. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly, mine honor. Be not thou united, for in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall." And he said, "Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel." Now here again was talking about that same situation, what had happened here, and he speaks of them as cruel people. Now, I'm simply telling you this to show you what kind of people that God uses in His work and can change to the glory of God. He can change cruel people. He can change people like you and I. He can change people who are sinners and lost. He can save their soul and make them something useful for God. Now, look with me over in Exodus, the 32nd chapter of Exodus.
32nd chapter of Exodus, verse 21. It says, "And Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people unto thee, that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, and they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, Make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what it become of him. And I said unto them, Whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me. And then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, Who's on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell unto the people that day about 3,000 men. It came down to a choice. It came down to a time in the life of the Levite tribe when they was given an opportunity to stand for God Almighty. And they did so. And they said, we are on the Lord's side. Now let me just mention to you this, that it was in the wilderness where they made this decision. I'm simply saying to you that we as God's children need to make a decision that we're going to be on God's side no matter what happens. And we're going to stand with God. And we're going to do right. No matter what anybody else does, we're just going to do it. We're a priest of God. We're God's child. And we're going to do right. If the whole world doesn't do right, we're going to do right. You need to decide whatever that is, I am going to stand for God. I'm going to do it for the rest of my life. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to back up. I'm not going to go backwards. I'm going to go forward. I'm just going to do it. Amen. We just need to do that. We need to get a hold of that. You young people down here, you need to make a determination as little as younger people, young boys and young girls. You just get a hold of it. I'm going to serve God no matter what happens. I see choices made all the time. I've seen it all of my life, and I've seen these choices made, and many times they're bad choices. They decide in the wrong direction, and they're going to go in the wrong direction, and I see them doing that, and you can't stop them from doing that, but it grieves you. When young people make the wrong choice, and they're going in the wrong direction, folks, don't do that. Just make the right choice. Just decide you're going to go for God, you're going to live for God, you're going to do it for the rest of your life, no matter what anybody else does. Amen? It's your lot that he's given you, and you need to just live it and do it. You see, to some, God gives an inheritance, even on this earth. But there's some folk out there, we talked about this earlier, I said I'd come back to it. But you know, there's some people out there that's God's children don't have much of earthly things. There's some people out there that don't have much of a home life. There's some people out there that don't have very much earthly love. Very seldom does someone come up to them and say, I love you. And that's difficult. For some reason, God's allowed that lot to come into your life. I don't understand it all. I don't know all the whys. But I see some people that needs love, and they don't get it. And what I tell them is this, God loves you. And they may sound shallow sometimes, but I want you to know something. God loves you. And he is your inheritance. And you need to understand it. I can't explain to you why it's come your way. I don't know why God has allowed this to come upon you. I don't know those things. But I know if God allowed it, it's okay. You can make it. He's your inheritance. He loves you. And you just be a strong Levi. You just pick up your sword, the old Bible, the Word of God, and just go out and do for God. Whatever God wants you to do. And stand fast.
Because I want to tell you, when you get to heaven, you're going to get more love than you can imagine. I mean, you've got it here now in the Lord. But you're going to get so much love, it'll last you for an eternity. Because we have a wonderful, wonderful God. And I know sometimes that people get the feeling that sometimes they feel that God's punishing them. Folk, God don't punish His children. He chastises them. There's a difference. He chastises us so that we'll be better for Him, but He doesn't punish us. He chastises us. Hear me? That's important. So just remember, God loves you, and He'll do whatever is necessary to be done, and that He is your inheritance. You have a wonderful inheritance in the Lord. You must understand that principle. No matter what your lot in life is, don't become discouraged. Don't become resentful. Don't become bitter. Remember, God loves you. And for some reason that you and I can't even understand, He's allowed this lot to come upon your life. You see, that's in the plan of God that you and I can't understand. But oh, when we look at the whole plan one of these days, and we look back when God's done with all of this, we'll look back, we'll be able to understand why God did this. Why did God do that? Why did He put that on you? I don't know, but God does. And He's got a reason for it and a purpose in your life and also for the whole plan of God. I don't think any of us understand what it means sometimes when people go through hard and difficult times when other people are standing back, maybe unbeknownst to us, and watching that.
Right.
We don't even know it a lot of times, but how we handle that is so important. Because other people are watching and seeing what God is doing in your life. And when you can put a smile on your face when you don't feel like smiling. And you can give God the glory when you don't feel like it sometimes. And you can just honor God with it. You'd be surprised what that does to other people's lives. That helps to change people. That helps to get people saved. That shows you're trusting in God and what God has done for you. So I want you to know something. I don't want you to feel sorry for me. And I'm not going to feel sorry for you. But I am going to have compassion on you. I'll be compassionate towards you because that's what Jesus is. He's compassionate. And if you want to give me anything, give me compassion. Amen. Don't feel sorry for the lot that God has given me. I told you earlier, every man grows weary in the work sometimes. But we don't grow weary of the work. Amen. So have compassion upon each other. Don't feel sorry for that lot that someone maybe don't want to carry. Don't feel sorry. God did not do wrong. Amen. He did not do wrong. You see, it was planned that away by a wonderful God who loves us so much. It wasn't any mistake because God don't make mistakes. Boy, just keep that in your mind. God never made a mistake. He don't even know what that is. It's impossible for Him to make a mistake. And He didn't make a mistake with you, and He didn't make a mistake with me. Amen. But He's given us a lot sometimes that is kind of difficult and hard to carry. Let Him carry it for you and with you. No matter what that lot is, no matter how difficult it may be. Just remember, you're important to the work of God. You're important to the plan of God. He has an overall plan, and you're important in it. Amen. Do what God wants you to do. Just fight the good fight. Keep the faith. Amen. Just keep on going on for God. Just do right. Amen. And one of these days you'll be so happy. You'll be so glad when you face Jesus Christ that you didn't step back away from that which God gave you. You completed your course as the Apostle Paul did. Your course, not somebody else's. Your course. And you'll be so glad when you meet the Savior. Let's pray.
Father, again, thanking you for your wonderful grace, your wonderful mercy. Thank you, Lord, for loving us so much as you do. And Lord, help us, that lot that you have given us, Lord, just to fulfill it. Certainly is different than someone else's. And Lord, but we just ask you to help us fulfill ours. And each person in this room to just go forward to glorify the Lord Jesus, to honor him with our life, that we may one day stand before our wonderful Savior and hear the words, "Well done." Now, Father, once again, should there be anyone in this house, in this place, unsaved, God, let this be the day of their salvation. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.